Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. We got to talk with Richard Patrick of Filter as we celebrated their new album, The Algorithm Ultra Edition, and look back on their incredible career, man. This first aired on Wednesday, September 10th. Let's go. Well, tonight we are hanging with a guy who's been making music for decades, touring the world for decades, and by all accounts, has no plans of slowing down anytime soon. Last time he joined us, we were celebrating the release of Filter's album, The Algorithm, and tonight we're celebrating the new release of this album, The Algorithm Ultra Edition. Richard Patrick, thank you so much for joining us tonight, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's decades of of making music has turned my hair white as the driven snow.
That's right. Well, you wear it well, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Listen, I want to get right into this. In 2023, you released The Algorithm, and here we are 2 years later. You've remixed it, remastered it, given fans a much bigger album with the Ultra Edition that features nine new tracks. What led you to do this new version of the album?
We just didn't think that the previous people we were working with really released it the right way. And I mean, they were about as imaginative as saying, hey, can you post something on Instagram?
Yeah.
You know, and I just was like, wow. So I took control of the record about a couple years ago or a year ago. And I have my own label now. It's called No Pulse. And started everything off with this label re-releasing The Algorithm because I just really wanted to get a fair shake on being put out there to the public. And it gave me an opportunity to go back and remaster the record in analog, which I thought was really cool. It sounds a little deeper. And it was fun to do the covers. I did a U2 cover, which is pretty much just a straight up tribute. Like it's not an interpretation. It's like literally I am U2 on that song. You know what I mean? Like, it was so much fun to do. The reason why I did that song was because I was learning Logic Pro X like 6 years ago. And I just was like, well, I can re-record my own stuff or I can work on a new song, but I'll just play the U2s. I'll just work on the U2 song. And I started like little by little, like, okay, I'll program the drums. Okay. The drum beats are pretty cool. So I programmed the drums and then like, you know, I would do a movie score and then come back 6 weeks, 7 weeks later. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to play the guitar on it. Okay. The guitar's done, you know, and that was pretty fun. And then it was like, okay, I'll play the bass on it. Oh, wow. The bass sounds cool. And then like, you know, over 5 or 6 years of kind of just playing with it, I ended up singing it in like, in about 30 minutes, I just sat there and sang it, a bunch. And then you comp it. And then you make sure everything sounds good in that level. And then boom, the song was done. And, but it really, I mean, I'm like, I am embodying the Edge when I'm playing his guitar parts. Like I am totally locked in with the delay and, all that stuff. And it was just really fun to work on it. And then when I played it for my friends, they're like, dude, you have to release this. Like I have some friends that were like, you know, they're a little bit more than just music fans. They're like, they're good friends of mine, Steve and Dana McKenzie. They work over at Infinity Ward. They do Call of Duty and stuff like that, video games and stuff. And I was like, what do you think of this? And they were both like, you got to release this somehow. And so it was just the perfect opportunity to re-release it on the Algorithm Ultra Edition. And then it was great. And then I did a cover of Bad Guy, which was really fun because I love Billie Eilish, but I wanted to completely interpret the song completely different. Like I wanted it to sound like a trailer for a movie. And did that. And then I had great friends, Charlie Clouser and Sean Bevan. Sean, I've known since I was 16 years old. We went on tour together with Nine Inch Nails during the early years of Nine Inch Nails. And Sean went off and worked with Marilyn Manson and all kinds of great stuff that, and Nine Inch Nails with Trent and everything. And then he started hanging around like recently doing our front of house just for the fun of it. And I asked him, would you please do a remix for me? And he was like, sure thing. And I was like, okay, great. So he did a remix. And then Charlie Clouser, who I met a long time ago, but I kind of reacquainted myself with him during the Nine Inch Nails reunion and just thought he would be perfect at remixing because he's done some amazing remixes.
Yeah.
And so he jumped in feet first. And then I had my friend Julian Gray do a mix of Burn Out the Sun. And he did a great like EMD kind of you know, dance remix of Burn Out the Sun, which I was really proud. I really liked it. Like I was blown away. I was like, man, that might be my favorite version of the song.
Those are good friends to have, man.
Yeah, no, I have the best friends. And, you know, so it was a joy to do this and it was great to re-release it. And my fans, hopefully they're like, yes, thank you for redoing it. And, you know, it's already got millions of spins and stuff, or, you know, millions of listens and stuff like that. So it was really good to go ahead. And we're, I believe we're going to make a vinyl version and a CD version as well, just to have totally, you know, Dana McKenzie does our art for Filter now, and he totally came up with that skeleton astronaut person on the Ultra edition of the algorithm. So it was really cool. It was just a lot of fun to work with great people.
Well, I know when this first came out, I mean, you were excited and proud of it, and I loved it, man. For me, it took me back like 20 years to what you were doing with Filter, and but now to have this Ultra edition out, to have your hands on it, to own it, to have it sound the way that you really want it to sound. I mean, it's just got to be such a great feeling, man.
Yeah, it's a great feeling, and it's great to be the owner of the. I mean, like, you know, there's no A&R guy. When you're the owner of your own label, there's no A&R guy, and like our song, like this, you know, like we're getting tons of spins on All the Good. All the Good was like just a joy to work on with Zach Munowitz. And like we're getting a lot of action out of All the Good, our new single, and I'm proud of it. And, you know, and I didn't need an A&R guy to go, can't you punch up the chorus a little bit? You know, like I didn't have any of that. And so it was really nice. And I think this is how I'm going to put records out from now on, is just doing it myself and not having people come in and meddle.
Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, this is the first release from your label. Plans for, you know, future Filter releases, it sounds like. Do you have other plans with bands, other bands or anything like that?
I would love to sign some bands. I would love to sign some bands, but, you know, it's, all of a sudden I'm the A&R guy.
I was just going to say, now you're the A&R guy.
You know, and I know what it's like for a young band to hear, do you think you could write a song that's a little bit more catchy? You know what I mean? Like, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, like, so I don't know if I want to work with any other people. I would love to, and I think it'd be a great venture. There's a couple bands I would have signed like a couple years ago. Like there's this band, Pixel Grip. And they're amazing industrial outfit from Chicago. And I would have loved to have worked with them, but they've released records on their own and they're doing really well themselves. So it's actually, you know, it's a little too late, I think.
Yeah, no, I get that, man. Well, listen, yeah. I wanted to say too, man, just how excited I was to see you on the bill with Jerry Cantrell this fall.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, was really excited to catch Filter on that tour, but you had to back out as you recover from disc replacement surgery. How are you feeling, man?
I feel better. I'm not 100%, and that's what I need to be. If I go on tour, I need to be like 100%. And, you know, my neck is just taking its time to heal. And sometimes that happens. And you know, I just want to be the best I can be and not be ailing, you know, and the ailing rock star. No, but yeah, you know, but yeah, you want to be healthy when you go on the road because it's brutal. You know, we travel in a bus and, you know, you're on planes and you're fighting the elements 24 hours a day, especially the tour that we were doing last year with Jerry. It was the middle of the winter. And so that tour was really fun. And then this tour was going to be something similar, like fall time. And, yeah. But yeah, we couldn't do it cause I got to heal up. So, but Jerry's really cool. He was really, he's like, I get it. You know, you have to feel good. So, you know, he understood and I'm grateful of Jerry.
And you've probably learned over the decades. I mean, I'm sure you've been on the road when you weren't 100% and that's just gotta be so hard on you.
Yeah. I get sick every time I go out. So if I go on tour for 6 weeks or a month, I get sick. Like it's something happens in the summer, like where you go out and it's 90 degrees during like a festival and like it's hot as hell. And then you get onto a bus that has its air conditioners cranked because that's just the way it is. And you go to a hotel room and the you know, it's really cold. So I call it hot to cold sickness. That's my own made up disease name, which is just you get like allergic or something happens where you just get the extreme temperatures that you're constantly in during the summer gets me sick during the summer. And then, of course, the same thing is in the winter. It's you know, it's cold and flu season and all that. So I get sick every time I go, which sucks. But that's just the way it is. You know, you get a doctor to get you some antibiotics and some prednisone and you're good to go. You know, you can continue.
Even more important to be 100% before you get sick.
Yeah. You want to be healthy. You want to totally be healthy when you're on the road.
That's right.
For all you young bands, man, make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Listen, if we can look back for a moment, you know, this year marked the 30th anniversary of Short Bus, the debut album from Filter.
Yeah.
The first album you made after leaving Nine Inch Nails. What runs through your head when you think about that record turning 30 years old?
I just think of this little house that we rented in Rocky River and, me and Brian Leesgang drinking a lot of beer and like laughing because we every time I tried to find a drummer in Cleveland, I got my ass kicked. It was this band called the Spud Monsters from Cleveland. They were called the Spud Monsters and I really liked the drummer, his kid named Eric. And the guitar player found out that I was trying to like work with him. So he kicked my ass at the grog shop and, beat me up. And, so we've used a drum machine on Short Bus and we use samplers so it was a little bit more guitar oriented. So I knew I didn't sound like I was coming from Nine Inch Nails, but the true fact is like Trent and I listened to a lot of the same stuff. Like when we were doing Nine Inch Nails, like we listened to Ministry and Skinny Puppy and Jane's Addiction. And, you know, and then I started listening to a lot of Alice in Chains, which explains the drop D and Helmet, the drop D ness of the record, which is a tuning on the guitar for those of you who don't know. And, but yeah, Short Bus was a lot of fun to make and it was scary as hell. You know, and like, but anyone who heard Hey Man, Nice Shot was like, oh my God, that's a hit. Like that's gonna be the door opener for you. And it was really great. And I remember when the song came out on the Demon Night soundtrack and it was the 11th song on the soundtrack. And there were all these other amazing bands and the radio promo guy just asked DJs, could you play something from this record, you know? And a DJ in Colorado Springs played Hey Man, Nice Shot at like 2 a.m. and the phones lit up and went crazy. And so it went viral and it came out before we were actually like done with the record. So it became a huge hit when we were mixing the record. So we weren't even done with Short Bus and Hey Man, Nice Shot had already taken off and become a hit. And so we had to finish Short Bus really quickly and then pull together a band really quickly and then go out there on the road and promote it. and it was hectic and crazy and but it was a lot of fun.
Do you spend much time thinking about milestones like that? I mean, do you find yourself getting nostalgic?
I mean, not really. I really don't. Because then it was like, you know, then what did we do? We did title of record, and that was even bigger.
Yeah.
And I look back at every single record is like, you know, this is something that I feel really good about at the time. And the algorithm was like one of, it felt like Short Bus, because I had learned all of my computer stuff. And I'd become an engineer, because you, at this rate, you have to kind of know how to do everything. And I got my hands dirty on the record. Like, I didn't rely on a producer and other people to help me with the record. I like became the producer, and I became, you know, more of the musician that played everything, you know, like the U2 cover. I played every single thing on that and programmed the drums. Same with like the drowning was, you know, totally 100% built by me. And I did work with other people on the algorithm, but I really made sure that my stamp of approval was on every song. So I think that really kind of made it sound similar to Short Bus, you know. And there's just songs that, like, you'll hear, we're working on a new record right now. We have 15 songs for a new record called The Antidote, which is amazing. It's, the algorithm was fantastic, but The Antidote is really good. And I work with a lot of different people, but I still have my hands all over the record, yeah. The Antidote that I'm making now. And it's, you know, I had to make sure that I wrote like the first song on the album by myself, like the first album song on the new record is called The Antidote, or excuse me, the new song is called Snakes in the Grass, which is just straight up me being, you know, industrial and having a lot of fun. And I think it ties all the newer sounding stuff together as well. So, you know,
it's a
lot of fun.
Is there a timeline for The Antidote?
The Antidote, I want to say it's going to come out probably next year. Cool. Sometime, which is vague as hell, but I, you know,
good, man.
I got to make sure I heal up and everything before I release another album, because I want to tour like crazy on it.
Yeah.
And,
that makes sense, man.
But, with the new release of The Algorithm, you know, like that's, that kind of should hold people over until the new The Antidote comes out in 2026.
Which, I mean, you just think about all that you've done, and to be as excited as you are about The Algorithm, but then seemingly to be even more excited for The Antidote, like that's just, I mean, of course that's what you want, right? Every album to be more excited, but all that you've done, all that you've experienced, like to still be able to feel that way, to be confident in what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of blood, sweat and tears, and you have to keep pushing yourself, and you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to say, is this really awesome? Or am I just kind of going through the motions? You know, you have to make sure that, and there's a lot of ideas that I started where I was just like, scrap it, delete. You know, like I just don't want to work on this. And so I, you know, go home disgruntled and, you know, take a walk around the neighborhood and then come back the next day and then write something great, you know?
Well,
so
is that tough when you have your hands on it? Like when it's, you know, not every song, but when it's largely just you, is it hard to kind of hold yourself accountable or to produce yourself like that?
Well, I built up my network of people. So I have my bandmates who work on the records too, like the song Snakes in the Grass. Let's just use that as an example. I'll send my vocals, all the music that I've created to Johnny Radke and to Bobby Miller, and Bobby will actually put up sound design. He'll add like all kinds of overdubs. Johnny will replay all my guitars because he's a fantastic guitar player. And then I'll have Elias Mallon play drums on it at the very end. When I have, like, Elias is the kind of drummer, he comes in and he does 9 songs in a day. You know, he's so amazing as a drummer. He literally comes in and he'll do 3 takes a song, and like, they're all great. And you, you, you just kind of say, well, take one's awesome, I'll use that, and then at the end I'll use take two because that was a little bit better or something. You know, it's like to one or two edits, you know, yeah, on the drums. And he's that on top of it that you don't really have to quantize him that much, which is huge, you know, for a drummer. And so he's like one of my most favorite studio drummers of all time, Elias Mallon. But yeah, I'll send the tracks in a Dropbox. I'll send all the tracks to my bandmates and we'll work on it together. But I have to get their seal of approval before we even start. And I'll send them an MP3 and I'll say, what do you think of this? And they're like, oh, this is great. Or maybe this or maybe that. And, you know, and we'll work on it collectively together. But, you know, I'm still like the guy that's like, this part sucks and I'm changing it. You know, like, I mean, you know, I still have to be that guy because, you know, I have to be the gatekeeper because that's what Filter is. A lot of people have said, you know, past members were really important, and they were important, but like I was always the guy in Title of Record, Short Bus, Amalgamut, you know, Trouble with Angels. I was always the guy that was like, hey man, this part, I don't like this sound, or we got to change that. I was always the gatekeeper on what happened in Filter. So
yeah. No, that makes sense.
It should have just been called Richard Patrick, but you know, I thought Filter sounded cooler.
It does, man. Well, I don't know if it's cooler, yeah, but it seems like it's stuck, man.
The Richard Patrick is not as cool as Filter, I think.
Well, you know, as we were talking about Short Bus, it's just interesting to hear kind of the urgency, right, to finish that record due to the soundtrack, due to radio jumping on, hey man, nice shot. That came out in 95, and then, you know, you've recently talked about this with Ozzy's passing, and then in 96, you hit the road with Ozzy.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, man, we've been talking a lot about Ozzy all this year leading up to Back to the Beginning, and now as we, you know, as we continue to lift up his legacy. What did you think when you got that invite to tour with Ozzy?
I thought, okay, heavy metal. All right, because we're more alternative. Yeah. So I was a little like concerned about his audience liking us or whatever, because I figured we were more industrial alternative. But as soon as I told the audience, guess who lit this cigar for me? Ozzy Osbourne. Like, you know, they were like, oh my God, that's awesome. So, but it was a lot of fun. Ozzy came running on stage. I had flown in late to sound check and I got there late and I quickly came up and just checked my guitar, and one of the riffs I played was Hey Man, Nice Shot. And I was playing Hey Man, Nice Shot and checking out my guitar rig. And the next thing I know, Ozzy's right here. And he's like, I love that guitar riff, man. It's amazing. And there's such a great guitar riff, man. Good job. And I was like, thank you. I think I said something like, thank you, Mr. Osbourne, or something like that.
Of course you did. Yeah.
But yeah. And then obviously, you know, he was the godfather of heavy metal. So, you know, he is fantastic, but he was great to tour with. And I knew Sharon and Ozzy's anniversary, and I made sure that they got a big, huge bouquet of flowers, and they were cool with us. Like they did things like, you know, if Ozzy canceled the show, she made sure that we were paid. You know, and which, because, you know, when you're an opening band, it could financially really crush you if you don't get paid for one show. You know what I mean? So she made sure that we were taken care of. She was really, really amazing. And I love those guys. And I'm super sad that Ozzy passed. But what a way to go out, you know, playing his final show. And, you know, it's just like, it's like comparable to David Bowie. Like David Bowie released, you know, Black Star the day that he passed. And it's just like, wow, what an homage to someone so awesome. And so I'm really glad that he got to play his last show and everything. And yeah, it was a lot of fun touring with them. And I loved all the bandmates and everybody. We had a good time.
Yeah, I love hearing those memories. And, you know, just obviously so many memories have been shared in the last few weeks. But it just sounds like Ozzy was always the guy that everybody wanted him to be, you know, the rock star, the godfather of metal. but also mm-hmm. just this sweet down to earth guy who runs up on stage and tells you, you know, he really likes that riff you're playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he was fully like that the whole time. And I remember at the end of the tour, I got him that box of cigars and he was like, oh, there's a light. You want a light? And, you know, lit it for me. And like, I'd sat there and puffed on cigars with Ozzy because he smoked cigars too. And it was just like, holy cow, this is quite a moment, you know, yeah. Ozzy.
Yeah, I mean, that's something. I mean, I get goosebumps even just hearing you say it, man. That's just something you'll hold on to forever. Mm-hmm. Do you think, I mean, you know, I asked you if you get nostalgic for milestones, that kind of thing, but yeah. Do you think about your own legacy much? You know, the legacy of Richard Patrick, the legacy of Filter, whatever that is?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think of my legacy or anything like that. I just kind of handle things day to day. And like, you know, I go through my Instagram, my messages, and I try and read as many of those as I get. I don't do a lot of Facebook, but I do a lot of Instagram. And I also keep up with people when they do the VIP hangs with me. And I'm shocked at like the amount of people that were so influenced and so like inspired by my music. And that's the legacy that I want to hold on to. You know, that's what makes me happy is the fact that, you know, moving people and bringing some happiness to people and, you know, pulling people together, you know, and I think that was huge. And, you know, whether I'm in Sydney or, you know, Hong Kong or Berlin or Moscow or the UK, Filter's music has grown throughout the whole world like that. And it's bigger than, to me, it's bigger than like a country's boundaries or something. It's in the air. And I'm just honored and privileged that I'm allowed to do what I do. And I'm internally grateful of the audience for giving me a legacy.
That's it, man. Well, that's a great note to end on. Richard Patrick, thank you so much for hanging with us, man. It's always a privilege to get to share some time and space with you. And hopefully we can do it more and more. I mean, it sounds like plenty is to come with the next Filter album, The Antidote. And so I can't wait to hear that. Listeners, get everything you need. Get the new Filter album, The Algorithm Ultra Edition. Stay caught up on everything going on in their world at officialfilter.com. We'll keep you posted right here too. But Richard, man, let's do this again. It's an open door policy for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I love your whole network and everything that you do. And I really appreciate being on here. And it means a lot to me. Thank you so much.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.